begin with a wee word of prayer, and then we will sing some song. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the day, and for life and health and strength, and for each of the souls that are here this morning. Pray you too for those that we know that aren't here, that don't yet know you, Lord, that you would take and use us and any other means possible just to give them a taste of the gospel. Please save, Lord, the souls that have been touched by the gospel so far, Lord. Please convict them greatly of sin and judgment to come. Please bless the leaflets that have gone out, and if it would be your will, I pray for a wee dry spot up at the present moment this afternoon. Lord, much going on in the world. We know that it was written in the Bible thousands of years ago. But I pray you, please, I know it's many wicked men, kings and leaders, sending Joe Public out for their vanity and their pride, Lord, to die for that. I pray you, please, Lord, that you would speak to those on the front lines. You would show them the truth of the gospel, Lord, and the need for salvation. Lord, we really do need you. Pray that you would be one of our number here this morning, that you would minister to each one of us. And Father, just give us our daily bread. I'm thankful that your mercies are new every morning. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for sending your Son to give his life for us. Thank you, Lord, for not being done with us. And we leave these things at your feet, Lord, and ask them all. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and according to your word. Amen. Amen. I'm going to begin with the wee black book this morning. If you would like to take the wee black book, and turn to number 11. Turn to number 11. We'll remain seated for the first of our hymns, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise. Find the one. Let's open on. Not that one. Hymn number 234. Some of these are not so familiar with us, but the more you sing them, the more familiar you get with them. He is so precious to me. Hymn number 234. And if you're able, we'll stand as we sing this.
Praise all. Tomorrow's reading is from the book of Psalms, Psalm 112. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man showeth favour and lendeth, who will guide his affair with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid, till he sees his desire upon his enemies. He hath dispersed, he hath given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn shall be exalted with honour. The wicked shall see it and be grieved. He shall gnash with his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. Amen.
Amen.
Sir.
I think that was a Lewis and Wilson production.
Yes.
I took Andy's book this morning.
Psalms are full of promise and comfort and help whenever things can be run against you, but it's always good to know the thoughts and the songs of men who love the Lord and the Lord working greatly in their hearts. Amen. We're on to the wee blue prayer list colours, if you want to call it that. I think it must be in honour of the blue skies that we're hoping to see in the very near future. It was so good yesterday afternoon for 2 or 3 hours. I actually managed to get the lawnmower a race around the garden.
The church. You raced the lawnmower around the garden?
No, I took it for a race around the garden. I didn't get anything else done, but I got the lawnmower raced around the garden. We had a good, I think we got one whole half of the Belt Road done yesterday for leafleting right up to the Trench Road. So we'd appreciate your prayers for the gospel tracts that went out. And not just the ones that went out yesterday, but there are tens and hundreds of thousands of gospel tracts that this church has put out just over the years that I have been here. Please do pray for those. Sometimes I wonder why we don't get very much by way of response. And then we get Norman, and we had Sandra as well, and others have contacted us, and some even on the return journey. One fellow said, "Yep, I got your gospel tract, and I read it, and do you know what? I asked the Lord to save me, but he never came to church." So there are people out there, but there could be for, as Mordecai said to Esther, it could be that those leaflets and those Bibles that are put in through doors, the Johns and Romans, they're there for such a time as this, maybe a year or two down the line. Whenever the Lord comes back and there's no Christians here, and all that's left is his word. So all of those Johns and Romans, all of those wee leaflets and those wee pointers to the foot of the cross, they are in people's houses. So please do pray for folks. I know we all know folks that are lost. Please do pray for them. Please do pray for each other. I got word from Colin that he is going up to the front. He says, I'll show you the text if anybody's interested. It's on my phone. Some place, Lechmut or something like that, or Lechmut, I don't know the name. I can't remember the name, but it's not like Belfast or Enniskillen. It's some place over in Ukraine. So pray.
Going through Belarus.
Yeah.
He's...
Yes. Pray for him. Pray for him that he survives his learning experience. Please do. Please also pray for... recently lost somebody recently. It was
Stephen,
one of Pat's in-laws. There was somebody else. Monica's uncle. I have it in my mind that there's somebody else. Does anybody ever remember Pat's the pirate?
Who?
Do you ever remember Pat's the pirate from Sunday school?
You would know some of his songs.
Do you want to sing one or two? Pat's the pirate, he was a man that had cancer in his eye. He got the eye removed and he took up a Christian ministry to children. He's very ill, and I think he was very ill with dementia, and he's about to step off into eternity where he'll not have to worry about only seeing the world in mono anymore or forgetting things. So please do pray for his family at this time too. Don't forget all of our sister churches. Don't forget Stan and the Bissets and, well, all of the other folks. There are other folks that are saved in the world that are not in Baptist churches. Please do pray for them. Please do pray for everything that's going on in the world right now, and don't be afraid to be part of the solution. The Word of God says, unfortunately, that things are just going to get worse and worse. Mm-hmm. I think, sadly, COVID went a great ways to emptying the churches and keeping a lot of people out of them. So please do pray for folks. We live in difficult times. I don't know about you, but I'm 57 and a half, and every bit counts. I know of somebody that's whose birthday just happened. When was it? Was it today or is it tomorrow?
Wednesday.
Should we sing happy birthday to you, Kevin? It'll be recorded forever. It's Pat's birthday.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Pat. Happy birthday to you.
Hey, don't forget, Pat. Don't forget, man.
You're very welcome. If there's any consequences for that, I would like to offer my share to Steve. Happy birthday, Pat, in a couple of days.
Yes, I will see you soon.
37 again.
I wish.
That's okay.
I'm just thinking the other day, you know you're old when you're glad to be 50 again. There you go. Anyway, God's good. Glad that you're here. I was just thinking whenever Frank was here and Steve was here, I just think that's a real answer to prayer, to have the two folks that had a lot going on medically just very recently back in the house of the Lord. But Steve's taken a long time to get better, but he's here, he's honouring the Lord, and we appreciate Frank being here too. I still feel a bit bad for Frank. Amen. I think that's about that. Is there anything else I would need to add to this prayer list so that it can be updated for the next time? Yes, what?
On the cancer, Alan.
Alan. Please also do pray for David King. Some of you may remember he is not well either at this particular time. Haven't heard from him for a long time. Please do remember him. Please continue to pray for Monica's mother. She had a couple of good days there. She has a fractured vertebrae or discs in her back, something like that. So please do pray for her. Yes, Steve.
And also, Matthew's on the list already, but she's got some tests coming up. Some of the tests have proven to be not so good.
Samantha.
It's a fluid leak from the base of the skull. There are some more things to be done with her. She's not got results of everything yet. Just keep praying that things will even out for her.
Okay, okay. All right. Everybody that has private prayer requests that wants them prayed for, will you stick your hand up so I can tick your name off? Thank you. Appreciate that. I also have a thing here for the recent suicides in Derry. I think that's probably an ongoing thing as well. Anybody got any thanks?
Thanks for the blessings that we've received.
Yes, we have that. Yes, indeed. Thanks, safety through the surgery. Now that you're safely through the surgery, Frank, you only have the whole rest of your life to get through. We'll pray for that too, if you want. Just want to mention as well, you may have noticed at the very bottom of the prayer list for the last month or two, there is a little note there to the effect that I can appreciate some people with health concerns needing a wee taste of water. Here's looking at you, Brother Steve, if you have a tablet or something. That's grand. But generally speaking, no food or drink in the hall. I think Norman might kill you quietly behind the church if you spill water on the floor and it rises up. But as well as that, there are people with breathing difficulties. I know we're all good here, but just in case, there are people with breathing difficulties that can't really take super strong aftershaves and deodorants. And we appreciate everybody going easy on those things whenever they come to church. I know it's hard keeping everybody happy, but you know the score. You know the score. We want to make church as comfortable as possible. I think that's about that. Anything else?
Okay. I'd like to offer special thanks. I want to first thank the Lord my God for the things that he's gotten through.
Yes.
The past few months. I want to thank everybody for the prayers, the thoughts, the support, the visits that they gave me when I was in hospital, especially my wife and yourself and other members of the church. I'd like to give special thanks to all those around the world who prayed for me as well. There's a mighty power in prayer to pull down strongholds.
I know
on the night that I couldn't breathe, God was with me because he gave me the words to think on with much a happy joy. And I just felt it.
Well, we're glad you did. There was a lot of prayers going up for you, God.
God's my life.
God's not finished with you yet.
Strengthened my faith. I want to offer those things to you, sincerely.
Yes, God's good. God is definitely good.
And a special thanks to the Dr. Yang, Frank, and Dr. Sharon, I say sincere.
Amen.
It means thank you.
Well, you know, I think it's only whenever we're at a very low ebb that many times we are thankful. We don't realize just how many times God is good to us, even whenever we're high-flying and think the world can't touch us. I think sometimes we're held up by angels. The angels of God sent to keep us from harm, so we ought always to thank the Lord. But I'm thankful. I know you are. Frank's here. We're thankful Frank's here as well.
I could have done Frank earlier. I could have done it for free.
Yeah, I know as many as a man back in the Strand Road would have too for the wrong word in the right ear or the right word in the wrong ear. But it was done right up in Abingdon, and we're glad of it. Let's pray. Well, if you wouldn't mind, brother, leading us, we'll
you go ahead, please.
Dear Father, thank you, Lord. Thanks for bringing us safely and securely into your building today, Lord. Your hospital, worship, Lord. Make everything acceptable in your sight, Lord, and everything done to order, and the praise, the worship, the sermon, Lord, may be done, Lord, and come to thy will, Lord. And Lord, we're pleasing your sight, and we do everything except on your sight today, Lord. And we come and we explore as well, Lord. Thanks for past blessings, Lord, and for keeping us well, strengthening us, and helping us. And we also thank Frank and Steve and Pat, Lord, for coming to church, Lord. We thank for small blessings, Lord, but all the great blessings, well, Lord. We thank you for sending yourself to death at the cross. Lisa was only only a week away, Lord. We remember that, Lord. We also remember that he died for our sins, Lord. He saved us from the uttermost to the uttermost, Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for that as well, Lord. With sister churches throughout the world, Lord, bless them and bring people up to the services, Lord. Remember the Collins, the Haynes, the Ashworths, the Bissetts, the Bradfields, the Sealys, Lord, all other Christian, truly true Christian servant, ministers, Lord, evangelists throughout the world, Lord. We have them in a touch with the Spirit, Lord, and reach out to those that are lost, those that are backslidden, and say so as mighty and powerfully. Remember the tracks that went through the doors yesterday around the Gulf Road, Lord, and especially in that area for the past weeks, Lord. We use those as an opportunity to get into people's lives, Lord, and to make them question like where is their end destination for the soul, Lord. We convict them, Lord, and save their souls mighty and powerfully, and raise the name above every other in this city, Lord, so we mightily saved, Lord, and the name we rightly praise. Lord, we also, as we come through the sermon, Lord, you may bless us, Lord, and give us a blessing, Lord, and Lord, give us words from your sermon, Lord, to each and touch our souls, Lord. Give us this day, Lord, we also praise you. Please bless us again.
Thank you, Lord. Let's take our little hymn books again. Do number 35. No, number 35. No one understands like Jesus. Number 35. We like her. No one understands like Jesus.
You should never be disturbed.
sermon later on. That's open my eyes that I may see and hope that the Lord makes it understandable to me. But hymn number 312, open my eyes that I may see. If you're able, we'll stand as we sing 312 in the bit verse. Open my eyes that I may see. Things like that done. Sometimes they're not pleasant, but they need to be done. They need to be done in order to make life just that little more convenient or, work that bit there. Amen. And sadly, sometimes the only way you'll ever appreciate it is actually to get it done, and as the title of the message says, and see for yourself. The Word of God says in Matthew chapter 11, verse number 1, that it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in prison the words of Christ, he sent two of his disciples, and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I sent my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and law prophesied until John. If you will receive it, this is Elias, or Elijah, which was for to come. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Amen. I want to have another brief word of prayer, and then we will continue. Let's close your eyes. Heavenly Father, just thank you, Lord, again for your many helps and blessings, for being there to take on board, Lord, all our worries and cares. I pray now for the words to speak, and Lord, for much understanding for each and every one of us in the church. And Lord, we hold you to your precious promise that wherever two or three are gathered in your name, that you'd be there in the midst, please be one of our number. Not ours only, Lord, but all those places where people are gathered together, Lord, please bless them with your presence, and we gold nugget of understanding, or two or three. We love you and thank you. We pray that you would not be done with us, and we pray all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I am sure we have spoken on this portion of God's Word many, many times, but we're going to look at it again. Verses 3, 4, 5, and 6 are our text this morning. On this, the 16th of April, 2023, I'm going to speak on the subject of see for yourself. And as we open this portion of God's Word, this is the point in time where the ministry has changed over. That voice of one crying in the wilderness is now no longer crying in the wilderness, because John has been locked up. Because he dared to stand, just like Elijah whenever he spoke to Ahab, and say, Herod, it's not lawful for you to be married to your brother's wife. You shouldn't be doing that. And I am sure Herod found a reason to have him locked up. And we all know that it was some short time after that that a lustful old man full of pride had one, the greatest man that ever walked on the face of the earth, executed because he wasn't thinking straight. But as we look at this portion of God's Word, we are in a handover time. We mentioned a little bit about it in another service, like the handing over of the baton in the relay race. And John has already said in chapter 3 that he that is Christ must increase, and I that is John must decrease. In other words, he knew that his time was come to an end. He knew that if he stayed, that people would be drawn to John, and then some would be drawn to Jesus, that there would be a division amongst the brethren. And he knew that his time was at hand, that his ministry was over, but he still had a few disciples. Because prisons back in the day were not like they are today. You didn't get a soft bed. You didn't get central heating. You didn't get internet and 3 square meals a day and a cup of tea and a bit of toast at supper time. You didn't get a medical plan. If you didn't have someone that you knew and that loved you to come and bring you food, you would starve to death in prison or freeze to death. And so a couple of his disciples turned up, and John, I have heard people say it was a moment of weakness for John. But the Bible records that John walked in lockstep with God every moment of his life. He was filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. He was educated, if you want to put it like that, in the wilderness for God until the day that God sent him in to declare the gospel, repent and believe. He had 2 disciples that were faithful to him, that stuck with him, that John knew needed to see Jesus firsthand, needed to see that this Jesus that John had already said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world," was indeed the Messiah. And so he sent them, and he said to them, ask him for yourself, are you the one that John was talking about, or do we look for somebody else? And so this is what Jesus said. Go and tell John, but really, it was for themselves. Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. And instead of just going, the blind receive their sight. And we're going to bring that a bit more modern. People can see right from wrong. Whenever you start reading the Bible, you can see right from wrong yourself. The lame walk. People who were paralyzed with no direction, they find a new purpose in Jesus Christ. The lepers are cleansed, and leprosy is one of the greatest types of sin in the Bible, and the consequences of leprosy were normally death, and the consequences of sin we know are death. But we see death commuted into eternal life for everyone that believes on God. The deaf hear. People that used to run around with their fingers in their ears singing a very loud song and hoping they didn't hear the gospel, they get to hear the gospel, the words of eternal life, as Peter said. The dead are raised up, dead in trespasses and sins, given the gospel and raised to eternal life whenever they hear the gospel. The poor have the gospel preached to them. Do you know what it means whenever you throw your lot in with Jesus and you're trusting in him? Mm-hmm. I think it's one of the Proverbs that says, blessed is the man that trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not, Proverbs 3. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not in your own understanding. Did I make a mistake there, Steve?
Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to your own understanding.
Not pedantic. We're not pedantic or anything this morning. Anyway, he said, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not in thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy paths. And what that means to the people without, who look around at the world, I don't have nights out at the disco. I can't afford swanky meals down at the hotel. I don't have a yacht parked in the harbour. I don't either. Any yacht that I ever had in the harbour was under 2 foot long with a sail, and it went out to sea. I don't have all that the world offers, and let's be honest, much of which is crippling and destroying people. I have the gospel, and I have discovered that it is walking and talking with God that is most important. And the poor suddenly find out, hold on a wee second, I am not so poor after all. I am the son of the God that owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, as it says in the Old Testament, and the hills underneath. You find you can do without a whole lot whenever you have Jesus as your Savior, when you're walking and talking with him. And these are the things that the Lord showed to the disciples. Now bear in mind, we're about halfway through Matthew, or just under halfway through Matthew, and a lot's happened. And so the Word of God says, or John said, just don't take my word for it. Go and see for yourselves. Check them out against the scriptures, the prophecies. It's up to you. And he goes on and the Lord starts to speak about John to the people around and about, because all of a sudden this prophet, this great prophet that couldn't be stopped, that the words actually hit home in people's hearts. He's locked up in jail. And Jesus started talking about, what do you think of John? What did you expect of John? In verse number 7 it says, did you expect this to come across a reed shaken with the wind? And I've heard a few explanations of that verse, but basically a reed will blow in the direction of the wind. So did Jesus said, did you expect to see someone that would come out telling you to just do everything that the Pharisees say and you'll be fine, or just do what the Romans say and everything will be hunky-dory? Or is any one of the 100 or more cults and pretend to be Christian organizations that there are in this world that don't believe in this and don't believe in that, but if you do the best you can, everything will be hunky-dory and God will weigh your good deeds against your bad when you get to heaven. Some of that's actually true. But the fact that he'll let you into heaven afterwards is an absolute lie. Did you expect someone just to tell you whatever you wanted? Did you expect to be presented with a God that you could set in your windowsill and show everyone that you're holy, and then whenever you feel like going out for the weekend, you take it and put it in a cupboard so that he can't see it? Did you expect a God that you could control? Or, he says, did you expect to see somebody in soft clothing? Soft clothes. Difference between jeans and a shirt and work boots and knee pads or a two-piece suit. Which did you expect? Did you expect the king to come and say, do this, do this, do this, and everything will be fine. And you don't have to do anything, and you just have to obey. Did you expect that from John? Whenever you got to see John, you got to see a preacher. You got to see a guy like Elijah, who didn't care who you were, but with love in his heart and the power and authority of God, he preached the gospel. In other words, you need to get right with God. You need to put your faith in God. And then you need to apply God to your life. In other words, sometimes you need to roll up your sleeves, end up with a bit of dirt under your fingernails, maybe get the toes of your shoes scuffed, as you serve God. Christianity is not an observational, it's not spectator, it's participation, it's your life, it's what you're doing with your life, what you're doing with the foundation that God lays down in your life. It doesn't mean you have to work to get to heaven. Heaven's for absolutely free. You're going to have to put a bit of work into your life if you're constantly contending against what everybody else is saying, your own feelings, and the temptations of the monkey on your back that keeps tempting you by whispering in your ear. Jesus said, this is Elijah that had said Malachi was going to come. Malachi 4 and 5, it says, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And Jesus said, this is Elijah, but that also means that I am the Lord. So you need to listen up. And then he made this comment about John, and I thought this was one of the rarest comments. The greatest man that ever walked in the face of the earth. That means greater than Samson, greater than Solomon, greater than any of the other, greater than Moses. Greater than all of those men, because he lived every moment of every day with every promise and blessing that the Holy Spirit offers to anybody that turns up. He lived with those every day. He led, some might say, a charmed life up until he was arrested, up until Jesus started his manuscript. Nobody could touch him. But he knew there was a time. And then it says, notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven shall be greater than he, than John. And I thought, how is that? It's because John never needed to get saved. Never. Even the most compromised, liberal, progressive, communist, whatever it is, soul that is out there in the world, if at one point in their life they bent the knee to Jesus Christ and asked him to be their own personal savior, they overcame the world, the flesh, and the devil, something that John never had to do, to trust in God as his savior. So the Lord said to these two men, we're scooting back to the verses that are our text this morning. This is what Christianity means. I'm the God of Christianity. These are the things that I have been doing in people's lives. What do you think? What do you think now that you've seen them for yourself? What do you think? A lot of times these days, when you mention God, people have a whole lot of ideas about who God is and what he offers and what effect even that he has in this world, because a lot of people will never open the Bible in their lives. They'll never get simple and straightforward. If it's coming from me, it's simple and straightforward, believe you me. Simple and straightforward preaching that can be applied to your life at any stage of life. And it's not rocket science. You don't have to have a degree in anything. All you have to be able to do is to listen to and speak and understand English, in my particular case. What do we expect from God? What difference does God make in a life? What's the observable difference that God makes in a life? Now, each and every one of you had to come here this morning, and if you hadn't, you wouldn't be here this morning. That makes sense. I remember hearing the testimony years ago of someone that had gotten saved because they always wondered where their neighbor went every Sunday morning with their Bible in their hand. Eventually asked, said, you know what? I would like to go to a place where people can be bothered to get up and go to. They think it's special enough to keep their Saturday night clear so that their heads are clear on a Sunday morning and they're able to go to church. I would like to go and to try that. And we got secret. You get up to church on a Sunday morning. This is the weekly service. All the other services I take as top-ups, but this is the big service. We're not worrying about hangovers because of drinking and drugs and who knows what else on Saturday. We're not worrying about broken hearts or bodies because of the many casual physical relationships that people are encouraged to indulge in. We make a place for God in our lives. And I don't just mean at the tea table for 10 seconds, whatever time it takes you to ask God to bless the food. But in your devotions, maybe pulling the Bible out instead of the paper, maybe instead of just jumping out of bed, spending a moment or two in bed and thanking the Lord for you opening your eyes in the world one more time. Where you are not just instructed to follow your feelings, but to love your family, your spouse, your children, your parents. Where you are given an instruction to put a bit of effort into raising your children, giving them everything that they need to survive this world, most importantly, a knowledge of God Almighty. That you are able to go through life and take the many hidings that the world can give you. And yes, it might knock you down, but what does the Bible say? The righteous man falleth seven times, which means he falls and he gets back up again. Whereas most of the world is content to lie there and to just indulge themselves wherever they are. The difference would be that I would hope a Christian that loves the Lord is able to give a reason for whatever it is that's going on in their lives. Like, why do you go to church? Why do you take time to read your Bible? That you're able to tell them, look, I go to church because God forgave me my sins and I would probably be dead. So I reckon a few hours out of the 168 God gives me every week is not too much to ask. And a few pounds out of my pocket out of whatever God gives me in the week, that's not too much to ask either. And I think, I believe in the creation. Because the Bible talks about dinosaurs. And people say, "Hey, but the word dinosaur is not mentioned in the King James Bible." It's not.
Not dinosaur, but there's a...
Because the word wasn't invented until about a couple of hundred years later after the King James Bible. And even in the new Bibles, the word dinosaur I don't think is mentioned either, because they don't like the fact of dinosaurs living with men. I believe in a world that's about 6,000 years old.
Amen.
I believe that. And it makes a difference in my life, because that means that I'm a sinner. I'm not a creature that has risen to where I am because I'm better than everything else and I'm heading towards perfection through my own works. The only reason I'm heading towards perfection is because Jesus saved me. I'm a sinner that needed a Savior. And we need to be ready to tell people these things. The Word of God should be on your lips at least sometime during the day. You should enjoy talking about the Word of God or what God's done for you. You should be able to take comfort whenever difficult things happen. That doesn't mean you laugh and you're rolling about on the floor and the tears are tripping you and you can't breathe whenever your money runs out or your health fails you or you have to say goodbye to either the world or a loved one. That means that you can take these things and get up and go on. Yes, molded and shaped by them, but walking and talking with God. Trusting in his promises. Knowing that the brethren will have your back as much as they can. But knowing most importantly that if God be for you, who can be against you? Trusting God for the words whenever you're put in the spot. He's promised to give them to you. Just open your mouth and he'll fill them. Trusting God to give you overcoming power. So when difficult things do come your way, you can soar above them like an eagle. Trusting God to help you in crooks, walk and water, do you live an impossible life. And content wherever you find yourself. That doesn't mean unaspirational. But not ruin the day that your fortunes have changed and you don't have as much as you used to, or you live in a house that you don't like. But that's where God has you for now. And I would remind you of the life of Joseph, who was content as the son of Israel. Never mentioned anything. I don't think he was content at the bottom of the pit. But he was at the bottom of the pit. He was content as a slave. He was content as a prisoner. And then he was content at the right hand of Pharaoh, the most powerful man in the world. The observable difference is that whenever things do go bad, you can thank the Lord that he's there to catch you. That whenever you need a bit of encouragement, you can find God's hand upon your shoulder. Whenever you need a bit of support, you can find God's hand under your arm. Whenever you need a bit of chastening, you can find God's hand on your ear or his foot on your backside. But God's always there. He promised he'd never leave you or forsake you, and the only times we don't hear from him is when we're standing like a child with a temper tantrum who won't listen to their mummy or look at them or do whatever because you've just been smacked. And you can get up and get going. It doesn't make it easy, it just means it's there for you. And one other thing, Coincidences seem to happen a lot. I mean a lot. In my own life, I had the coincidence of being the lowest bidder in a house and still winning a house auction, not an auction, but bidding war for what is an auction, for my home about 35 years ago, for getting a company car. All of these things have just happened to work out, and many other things besides. We might not be able to actually see God. And that's probably a good thing if you have anything you have planned for this afternoon, because if you saw God, you wouldn't be able to get it. You wouldn't be able to take it. You would die. Remember Moses? I'd like to see you, God. God said, hold on a wee second, Moses. You can't see my face. Literally, the sin nature would be burned out of you. And that would be you done, because it's such an integral part of our lives, unfortunately. But you can look at the back of me. So he said, I'll put you in the cleft of the rock, I'll cover you with my hand, and when I pass by, you can look at the back of me. But we should be able to see God in our lives. It's like the postman. Sometimes we see that wee red van coming up the lane, and we know the postman's there, and we get to see him, we get a chat with him. But there's sometimes we open the door and there's a parcel or there's letters just dropped there. We know the postman arrived and he put them there even if we didn't see them. And we know that God is alive and well because of all of the things he delivers to us. Mm-hmm. Even for the soul that feels uptight when they hear this message. Someone's going to hear it on the internet and say, that's nonsense, that's rubbish. Even you feeling uptight is the Holy Spirit poking you on the shoulder like a woodpecker on your ear and letting you know I am real, and the reason you feel the way you do is because the Holy Spirit is contending with the unholy spirit, our own spirits. One day we will see God face to face. And he's going to be saying, first time around, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Mm-hmm. But in the meantime, we can see his evidence. You can see the footprints in the sand, and that wee ditty that somebody wrote. You can see his footprints in the snow, like the poster. You get that comfort, or that peace, or that understanding of the way the world works when you let the Bible work in your heart. Or whenever you go to do something bad, and we have it all in us to do something bad, and the Holy Spirit says, hold on a wee second, you'll look bad, and you'll make me look bad if you do that. How's about we do something else? We'll do the right thing. There should be evidence. You should want to talk to Christians. You should want to fellowship with Christians. You should want to help brothers and sisters. That's evidence. That's observable. Empirical, is it? Evidence of something working inside your heart and your mind. And that something is God. Mm-hmm. If you spend any time around Christians, you'll notice. They're not afraid to speak of God, and they're not offended whenever you talk of God. They love to talk about God. And so for all of those things, for the difference being saved makes, and the direction people head once they're saved compared to once they're lost, we get to use one other thing that God gave us. And that is the most complex computer that has ever graced the face of this world. And I don't mean the new 20-core, 40-thread Intel Pentium P9, whatever it might be. I'm talking about the 9 pounds of flesh that's stuck between your ears, surrounded in a bone case to keep it safe. God said, use it. Look at the world, see where it's going. You know, one thing I have noticed a lot about the world and a lot of the entertainment A lot of it revolves around drink and immorality. An awful lot of it. Look at the world and the effect that that has on people. And then look at the Bible and the God of it and the effect that that has on people. And whenever we're young and we're fit and we're strong, we think, you know what? I'm using the term corporately because I don't feel fit or particularly strong or young a lot of days. We think a lot of the rules don't apply to us and that life is just going to carry us forward and everything will work out for the best. I'm afraid it's only miles in the clock and wrinkles around the eyes and a few grey hairs that teach you the most valuable life lessons in this world that the Bible's right. And whatever lessons the world's teaching us are wrong. But God loves us. The world, the flesh, and the devil hates us. But God died for us and even now ministers to us and intercedes for us and helps and strengthens and comforts us, whereas the world wants to steal every moment of your time and every ounce of your strength and every day of your life and leave you empty, leave you like a piece of chewing gum with all the flavour gone, spit you out again when they're gone. There is a difference being a Christian. There should be an observable difference in being a Christian. And whenever you have done that, there's a decision to be made. Do I stand with the goats on the left? Or do I stand with the sheep on the right? Am I going to follow the world or am I going to follow God? I have seen the difference it makes. That's up to us. But the Bible does say, and a couple of my favourite verses, and then we'll be done. In Philippians 2 it said, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." That doesn't mean you can work your way to heaven. That means sit down, ask questions, and say, should I believe in Jesus Christ or should I try another way? That's up to you, each one of us. And if you want everything to work out for the best in your life, here is the Bible's advice. Accept Christ as your Savior, repent of your sins, and do things God's way. Mm-hmm. That's it. Everything will work out for the best. It's not what people want to see. It is amazing how hard people want to work for something and yet how little work people actually want to do for things. But we have to encourage people to think for themselves and to consider everything that God can do for a person. It's a little bit also like the verse where it says, it talks about women being silent in church, and if they have any questions to ask their husband later, there's an onus on the husband to pay particular attention and to be completely au fait with what's going on. We make the decision. And in the end, at the end of our lives and in the endless ages of eternity, it is we that will reap either the consequences of our actions or the benefits of Christ's action. Anyway, stopping there, thank you for your good time. God bless you. Appreciate your indulgence. Amen. Let me see. I haven't one pick. Does anybody have a hymn that they'd like for us all to sing?
Just a closer walk with thee.
Just a closer walk with thee.
C19.
Thank you. Well, I just literally saw what he said. 319 in the big book, so if you'd like to turn there and stand if you're able, and we'll sing just a closer walk with thee. prayer. Steve, would you be okay to pray for us? Okay, you pray for us.
Listen, Father, we put before you the friends and all these things again, Lord. We thank you, Father, for just being here this day, Lord, and being well enough to be here, Lord, and just to have the fellowship with you, Lord, and fellowship with each other. And Lord, we hope and pray, Lord, that the songs of praise that we've lifted up and the prayers and supplications, Lord, and the tithes and offerings will be acceptable before you, Father. It will just be put to use, Lord, and your prayers to be answered or unanswered or whatever, Lord. We know, Lord, that you will grant them if needed. Lord, we love you for your first love to us. Lord, this is why we are with you this day, Lord. For your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, who shed his precious blood at Calvary for us on that day. Lord, the humiliation that he went through before in this world. Lord, such things that happened that he just kept quiet and did what he did because his love for us constrained him. We give thanks to you for the Holy Spirit, Lord, that keeps us right when we go wrong. We give thanks to you, Lord, for the King James Bible, your precious word. And we can read it at pleasure, Lord, without being feared of persecution or death. Lord, I ask, Lord, now you just be with us, each one of us, as we go to individual homes. That you take the words that we've heard today with us from your servant Mark, Lord, and we just, Lord, that we just learn to try and apply them to our lives. That we try to strive to be like you, Lord, so that others may see you in us, Lord. They may want a piece of what we have, Lord. And just, those who have received tracts or hear the gospel are just speaking with us, Lord. Lord, that you would just soften their hearts and stiffen their necks, Lord. So, Lord, just to get saved, Father. And not just here, but around the world. I pray for our world leaders as well, Lord. Lord, I just ask, Lord, that you just put common sense for us, just nonsense, Lord. Stop these silly things that's going on with innocent children and women again caught up in them, killed mercilessly, Lord. And Christians as well, your children, Lord, around the world, crying up to you, Lord, for help. Lord, please, Lord, hear their cries, Father, as you did before. I know, Lord, that your promises that you're coming back. Please, Lord, I pray this soon. But I know, Lord, it'll be your time now. Lord, we give thanks to you for living in our lives. We give thanks for promises past, present, and to come. Lord, for all the masters that have gone on before us and the prophets and all the saints. Lord, we ask, Lord, that you just be with us now. Lord, bring us back at the next appointed time, Father, that we may be with fellowship with you again. In Jesus' most precious name, Lord, I ask these things. Amen.
Thank you, brother. Folks, we're dismissed. God bless you. Shake hands. Fellowship for a little bit.